Welcome to episode 212 of the Sisters in Loss podcast. Have you heard of the term preeclampsia? Preeclampsia is a pregnancy complication characterized by high blood pressure and signs of damage to another organ system, most often the liver and the kidneys. There may be no symptoms. High blood pressure and protein in the urine are key features. There also may be swelling in the legs and water retention, but this can be hard to distinguish from a normal pregnancy symptoms. Preeclampsia can also be managed with oral or IV medications until the baby is sufficiently mature to be delivered. This often requires weighing the risk of early delivery versus the risk of continual preeclampsia symptoms. Today's guest is a survivor of preeclampsia, losing two babies prior to the birth of her daughter. Her first loss was due to information about preeclampsia, and her second was due to severe placenta abruption that almost cost her life. Jay Wilson thought motherhood was not really for her and doubted her worthiness in herself and in her relationship. After birthing her two babies, she went through a divorce and rediscovered herself in a new form as a single mother. This inspired her to create her organization, Melanated Moms, to inspire others to find their voices in their own motherhood journey. In this episode, we discuss preeclampsia, signs and symptoms of preeclampsia, how she found her voice in her subsequent pregnancies after divorce, and how she is helping melanated mothers around the world. Here is Jay Wilson. Well, welcome to the podcast, Jay.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you. So I would love for you to share with us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
All right. My name is Jay Wilson. I'm the founding president and CEO of Melanated Moms. We are a community-based organization that strives to give moms and women the right types of support that they need to be better versions of themselves. The way that we do that is through community engagement. We go directly to our women. We talk to them. We ask them, how can we meet the needs that you have and how can we help you feel elevated and empowered to pursue your goals, to advocate for others and, you know, to bring other people to this same type of support. Right. So I feel like the best way to build a community is to actually go to the community and ask them what they need instead of the other way around. Like, this is what you need, so come and take it. It's like, I see you, I hear you, I'm a part of you. Let me know what I can provide for you so that you feel whole. So, you know, that's what we do. We service women as well as moms across conception. So we look at women prior to having children. We look at women who are pregnant, postpartum and interconception. And then we also obviously have a space that is very open for grief and loss, which is, you know, why I'm so excited to be able to talk to you today about that side and how all of those other pieces come together.
Yes. And I am excited to hear your story and your journey to motherhood. So share with your battle with preeclampsia and your loss story.
Sure. So my journey started at 19. I became pregnant my sophomore year of college. And prior to becoming pregnant, I had pre-existing health issues, have some issues with my kidneys and my blood pressure. And actually at my confirmation appointment, finding out, you know, from the doctor, yes, you are officially pregnant, tells me, so you have preeclampsia and this is going to be a life or death situation. So you need to choose, is your life worth it or is this baby's life worth it? And at the time, you know, I'm 19, I'm young, I have no idea what this man is talking about. I've never even heard of the term preeclampsia. I didn't know what to like say. And I felt like regardless of what decision I wanted to make, I felt like it was made for me without really consulting me, if that makes sense. So, you know, as I asked more questions, like, well, what is preeclampsia? Can it go away? Is it something that the baby's going to have? You know, all of these array of questions. And I kept getting stonewalled. The answer I just constantly kept receiving was, don't worry about any of that stuff. We need to schedule a termination. And I went 14 weeks, you know, constantly battling this decision of, am I going to keep this pregnancy or am I not going to keep this pregnancy? But every single visit I go to, they're like, we're scheduling a termination today, right? So, you know, as the pregnancy progressed, I did become more and more ill. And, you know, I made the decision. I was like, all right, well, you know, maybe this is what I'm supposed to do. Spoke with my family. They never heard of preeclampsia before. So they were like, well, if that's what the doctor said, then just go and do it. You can always try again and have a baby another time. you know, because again, no one knew. So we did the termination, and, you know, it really bothered me because I felt so not included in the decision. You know, it was almost like I was there, but I wasn't. And it bothered me, you know, for a while. A couple years later, we decided to try again. At that time, I had went to nursing school. I've become a nurse. My boyfriend then became my husband. And, you know, we went about it, you know, the quote unquote right way. We went to doctors. We did preconception counseling. We changed my medication. We prepared ourselves. We were actually prepared for what a high risk pregnancy looked like. Because, again, you know, going through my first pregnancy, no one ever explained to me what preeclampsia was. So I didn't actually have any concept on what it truly was until I went through nursing. So, you know, equipped with that knowledge professionally, I knew what questions to finally ask when we went into planning our next pregnancy. And, you know, my doctor was very thorough, answered all of my questions. We became pregnant. And my second pregnancy, I carried to 22 weeks. And I was actually getting off of the train, going home from work. And it felt like my water had broke. And I was in the train station. And in this train station, there was a police station. So I went into the police station and I was like, excuse me, you know, I'm 6 months pregnant. I think my water broke, but I'm not sure. And they were like, what? Well, are you sure it was your water? This, you know, I'm like, I'm not sure. So they had me go to the bathroom to check. And it's it's just all blood, all this stuff. They call the ambulance. Ambulance comes. You know, they're rushing me to the hospital. I'm hemorrhaging. I'm losing all of this blood. My blood pressure is like 240 over 140. They're asking me all these questions. They're asking me, do I know what's happening to myself or, you know, to my body? I'm like, I don't know. Is this what preeclampsia is? And, you know, they didn't really answer me. We get to the hospital. The hospital said that I had a placental abruption and, you know, they'll do everything that they can to save me and the baby, but they're not sure what's going to happen. You know, unfortunately, my daughter died and we were in the hospital for a week. I gave birth and I still feel like still to this day, and it's 15 years later, I still to this day feel like I was outside of myself watching all of this happen. So I never felt really connected to the traumatic experience, but I know that I experienced it, you know, but going through the loss and seeing how the hospital kind of mechanically shuffled me through, a part of me understood it because I'm a nurse. But then, you know, the other side of me as a person and as a patient, I'm like, this care isn't like human. Like, I feel like I'm just like another person you just shuffle into the side, you know, like they made me take pictures and they were like, you have to do this. You have to do this. Sign here, sign here. Okay. We'll come back. We'll make funeral arrangements for the baby. And it's in a third, like, but it was never like any check-ins on, how are you feeling? Do you understand what just happened to you? Can we give you any type of resource? Can we talk to you, point you in a direction of how to deal with the flood of emotions that you're having right now? You know? So after that experience, I became really afraid. I didn't know if parenthood was for me. I lost a lot of my faith for a while. And I really, honestly, I became angry. I became angry at God. I became angry at myself. I doubted that my marriage would last. So I was a broken woman. Like, what can I bring to the table to my marriage if I can't give my husband a child? We again go through therapy and talk to the doctor and everything. We decided to try again. And I'm grateful that we were able to successfully give birth twice. So I have two daughters now. My oldest is 12 and my youngest is 9. But going through their pregnancies, they were just as traumatic. Going through their pregnancies, it really showed me that all of the doubt that I had and all of the questions that I had, particularly around my faith, definitely were like squashed. But I will always say to myself, like, you know, you have to have the faith of a mustard seed in order to get through that, you know. And my grandmother, God rest her soul, she used to say, you know, these things happen and it sucks and it hurts, you know, but you have to go through it to get through. There are reasons that things happen. And I never want you to think that your suffering or your pain was intentional by God, but it's been placed on you for a purpose. So I'm saying all that to say, I believe that even though those experiences really changed my life and
changed my perspective on what parenthood and motherhood looks like in terms of a journey. I think it also helped me to find a deeper purpose into the work that I've started to build with Melanated Moms.
Yeah. So how did you navigate those two pregnancies after your losses with preeclampsia? What were you doing differently? And for those who are listening who may not know the signs and symptoms of preeclampsia, can you give those to us?
It's a twofold thing. So for me, I have pre-existing conditions that actually added to my my risk factor of having preeclampsia. So I have a kidney disease, and then I also have chronic high blood pressure. I've had those diagnoses since I was 17. Additional signs of preeclampsia is general swelling, particularly you'll see it in like your legs, your hands, and your face. That just doesn't seem to go away. Headaches, dizziness, sometimes spots before the eyes. You know, elevated blood pressure. Diagnostically, when your doctor runs like your lab, you'll start spilling protein into the urine. So, you know, when they do like the urine dip, it'll tell you if you have any protein molecules in your urine. And if you're starting to gradually increase in protein, that contributes to. Yeah, it's a hard thing because a lot of the symptoms can be, I don't want to say easily, but often are diminished or ignored because of just general, you might not feel well as a pregnant person. You got all this extra weight on you, you know, water retention, all of these other factors could contribute to any of those variety of symptoms. But I believe the difference, the ongoing feeling, you know, so you can have one or two off days, but if you barely can put your shoes on and your face is swelling and you're dizzy, your head is pounding, you can't seem to find a way to get that comfort. Even if all you're doing is calling the doctor and just reporting it, you need to take action, you know? So for me, my preeclampsia looked like all of those symptoms on top of hyperemesis, where I could not eat or drink anything. And I was hospitalized for 3 of the 9 months of my pregnancy. I was on TPN for nourishment because I literally could not hold down any food. Ended up with pancreatitis from such excessive vomit and inflammation of my pancreas. It was ridiculous, you know? And just knowing that there are a lot of women who experience these symptoms and they ask about it, like, I don't feel right, you know, and you as a person, you know, if you just generally don't feel well, you know yourself, don't let anyone try to diminish that or tell you otherwise, like, oh, you're fine. You're just overthinking it. I know for me, during my pregnancies with my girl, I formed a huge level of anxiety. And, you know, prior to giving birth to my first daughter, having that birthing experience on the train really triggered my anxiety of not wanting to leave my house alone. Like, I really, really was afraid. And my husband, he worked away from home a lot. So and I don't have family where I live. So I literally had to get to the doctor on my own and do all these things. But I was afraid. And it got to the point of such paralyzing anxiety that I had to start getting home care where a nurse would come to my house twice a week to do my prenatal visit because it just got so bad. You know, yeah, I don't wish those feelings on anyone at all, you know, but what I can say that I understand now, like looking at it and also being in, like, speaking up is the best thing you can do. And if the one person that you're talking to chooses not to listen to you, talk until somebody will listen. I can say, like, through my two pregnancies that were successful, I did have really good medical providers who listened to me the first time and who really took seriously what I was saying because they also saw it in real time. You know, so they didn't question me when I said, hey, you know, I can't feel my feet or my hands are so swollen. I can't even make a fist. You know, they were like, come to the hospital. Listen, even if we got to send you right back home, we want to make sure that you're okay. And, you know, seeing how a lot of women, especially women of color, they have these same complaints and some of them don't even get to the other side of it, either by losing their children or even losing their own lives. I think it's very important to be able to share this story and to talk about it from a perspective of change, right? So that's really what I'm here to do.
No, absolutely. And oh my gosh, I didn't realize that you had HG as well. Oh goodness.
Oh yeah.
You really were going through it through your pregnancy.
The underlining of what you're saying is really try to be the best advocate for yourself and create absolutely. A team around you mm-hmm. that listens to you, that respects you. And when you are going through the journey, if there's any fears and anxiety, they're actually going to respond to them because you know your body best. So,
yes, ma'am.
I am happy that you're able to share that. So let's talk about really how you navigated, you know, through those losses, because I think what a lot of people don't realize is that when you go through a pregnancy after loss, mm-hmm. A lot of the fears and a lot of the grief that may have been processed, may not have been processed, comes back up. So how did you navigate, you know, getting pregnant again and again? I mean, even after your first, the traumatic experience of your second loss, how yeah. did you navigate that grief journey and, you know, continue to move forward and be resilient to continue to get pregnant? Because that is
yeah.
definitely difficult.
No, absolutely. Honestly, therapy, prayer, and just not bottling it in. I think it's very difficult to share a story like that because you want to talk to people and feel like you have a space where they can relate to. But when you go through such a traumatic loss, you do feel isolated or feel like, you know, no one else could understand this because no one else has been through this. So a lot of the really, really traumatic part, especially, you know, the late term abortion, that really bothered me to really share because a lot of people didn't even recognize that as a loss. You know, they're like, you made the choice.
Yes, I did.
I'm like, but that wasn't a choice that I wanted to have to make. You know, I felt like choice was really taken away from me. But I think that just knowing how to express yourself, and sometimes even if it doesn't make sense in the moment, like just getting it out really, really helped. And I'm really grateful that I had really good medical providers that listened, and they also helped me to find other avenues of getting through that. I didn't really have like a family support, you know, a supportive family system to lean on. That's, you know, it's my journey, but I know how important and pivotal that can be for others. So, you know, if you do have a great family support system, lean on them, you know, share these stories, talk about just asking them to be a lending ear. You know, I'm grateful that before my grandmother passed away, she was able to meet my children, but that was my only support, you know? So after she passed away, my youngest daughter was 2. I still had all of these feelings because, you know, 2 years postpartum may seem like a long time, but it really isn't. Like you're still processing a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So that would be my advice. You know, just stay open, you know, speak up, speak out, find a good community of support, you know, whether it is your family or good friends, even colleagues. You know, you never know who will connect with your story and who can also offer you great advice. Oh, I have a story for you really quick. After my second loss, you know, I told you I had a lot of questions about my faith, and I was working as a nurse for like a nursing home through an agency, and I hated it. I worked there probably like a week. And in that week, I met this young lady. I'll never forget her. I really wish I could remember her name, but I remember meeting this young lady, and she was so like sweet and like open and bright. Like she just had this beautiful light about her. And she asked me, she's like, oh, how old are your kids? And I just instantly just got really offended. I was like, I don't have any kids. And she's like, really? I feel like you have like this mothering thing to you. And, you know, she didn't know me. She didn't know my story. Like, this is probably the second conversation I ever had with this girl besides, hey, what's your name? So I'm like, yeah, I really don't want to talk about it. And she just blurted out her story about how she went through a traumatic pregnancy that ended up her going into preterm labor, and her daughter was born. And she had a lot of medical challenges, and she ended up being in a long-term care facility for pediatrics. And we're on the train. She's telling me this story. I didn't ask her for any of this stuff. I'm just looking at her like, why is she telling me all this? And she comes to the end of the story, and she said, you know, for 2 years, I watched my baby suffer through all of these things, and I suffered in the same moment because she was in a domestic violence situation with her kid's father and all these other things. And she said, you know, I was holding on so hard to just making sure that my baby was alive. Unfortunately, she passed away. And she said, you know, when she passed,
as much as I wanted her to be there, I felt like that was a level of, there was a way that she was kind of, it was a way that she was letting me go and letting me know that I can let go of the grief. I can let go of all of the things that I was holding on to try to keep together. Cause she was trying to still work it out with the, father. Was trying to get back and forth to the hospital where her daughter was. She just had so many challenges. And she said, you know, that made me reevaluate myself, reevaluate my faith. And she's like, you know, I don't know if I'll ever have any more children, but that baby taught me that. So, you know, she's like, I don't know you. If you're not a mom, don't think that that's not your journey. She was like, it's coming. It'll be here. She's like, but you just have to have that faith. You have to have a faith of a mustard seed to get you through it. It's going to be a bunch of people that's going to tell you no. It's going to be a bunch of obstacles in your way that's going to make you feel like you can't or you won't or it's not for you. It's like, but you just have to stay strong in your faith, and that's going to get you through it. And I probably stopped working there maybe 2 days later. Never seen this girl ever again. I can't even tell you what her name is. But I often think about that when anybody ever asks me those questions, how you get through it, how you got through it, you know? And I often use that as example when I'm talking to my audience about how to get through things that feel impossible. You know, I never thought I would be able to get over losing my two kids. I never thought I would ever be a mother. I just feel so grateful to say that I'm on the other side of it. And even if God decided that I wasn't supposed to be a mother in the physical form, you know, I can say that I've been through these things. It was still a part of my journey and my children are still a part of me, you know, but I'm very grateful. I can hear that girl's voice and I can still like recall how significant that conversation was with her. I see how it's also made an impact on the way that I've built my business, as well as the way that I have my relationship with my children, you know?
Yes, God sends his angels in so many different forms.
You have no idea.
I have. There's so many different stories on this podcast where people have had similar experiences. People just show up, you know, the time that they just unexpectedly have seen them, have a conversation with them, they pour out their heart, and then they never see them again. I'm just like, that's just God sending his angels, and we just did not know we needed it at the time. What I love also about that story is that it really has given you a new light to go out and help your community. So I would love for you to talk about Melanated Moms, what you're doing and how you're using, you know, your own journey, you know, your own pain, and really turning it into purpose.
Absolutely. So with Melanated Moms, it actually came out of nowhere. I had the idea more than 10 years ago when I was still in my marriage, but I didn't know what it was. So I kind of like, but I went through a divorce, and through my divorce, I realized I was in a completely different space, right? So when I became married, I was 20 years old, fresh out of school, no kids, you know, all this ambition, all these great things in my head. And then 10 years later, here I am, 30 years old with two children in the middle of, you know, a great, but very like high demand and just like a tumultuous relationship at my, you know, at home, you know, and my divorce was just terrible. But once I got through, like, all right, this is really happening. You're going through a divorce. That's, you know, that relationship is done. I had to think about, all right, you're in a different space. How are you going to navigate your new life? What I did was I went on the app Meetup and I started looking for like mommy groups to see if I can just find some way to like connect with people. You know, I'm a very extroverted person. I love talking. I love hanging out. I love doing things and being social. COVID is killing me, girl. But I started like attending different groups, but they were all like just missing like that little spark. It was something that was missing that just didn't feel authentic enough for me to want to cultivate anything further with them. No, nothing against any of the groups I was in, but it didn't feel as reflective as I needed it to be while I was in transition. I decided to start my own. So, you know, I started a group on Meetup, just started posting different things. Like we'll go to an ice cream shop. We'll go to a trampoline park. We'll go to Central Park with the kids and, you know, just see who showed up. And sometimes it'd be three or four women. Sometimes it'd be 15 women, like whatever, but we will all meet up, hang out with the kids. Sometimes we would do like mom's night out, no kids, and we just hang out in the city and do things. But we would always have just nice, genuine conversations, and our kids would hang out. They would become friends. And after a while, I started asking, like, not for nothing. Why do you guys keep coming back? You know, like, I get it. Like, you know, it's just a nice, like, outing. But, like, what makes you feel like this group is really for you? And a lot of the feedback I received initially was, you know, like, you're very easy to talk to. I feel very comfortable in this space. It feels very inclusive. Like, you don't look at us
barriers, right?
So if I'm not a married mom, or if I'm a single mom, or a special needs mom, or if I'm a Hispanic mom, or if I'm a South Asian mom, like, you're not looking at me like, this ain't for you. You're like, yeah, come on, let's go. It started as that. And it quickly progressed to me asking more in-depth questions of the women about their birthing experiences, right? So knowing my own tragedy and my own trauma, I didn't want to project that onto other people, but I was really curious to see if anyone else had went through anything like that. So I started asking, you know, what was your birthing experience like? Were you supported? Was it what you expected it to be? Is motherhood what you thought it would be? Do you feel like you have the right community around you and your kid? And I just started getting an outpour of all of these amazing answers of yes or no, or I'm so glad somebody actually asked this question. No one's ever asked me how I felt in my motherhood. You know, so then we progressed to hosting social impact events. And one of my very first successful events is called Childbirthing in Communities of Color. We created it into a series now. And the very first one, we held it as a panel. We had six panelists. They were moms, they were doulas, they were healthcare professionals, media people. And, you know, we opened it up to the public. We had maybe about 30 people that came, and we screened the movie Death by Delivery. And I created an outline where I asked specific questions about pieces of the movie. And, you know, we just had genuine dialogue, and it was dope. And we just got so many different perspectives of the same scene from that woman's point of view. Right. So, like, there's one scene in the movie where this young lady is talking about how her birthing experience was so negative, she doesn't want to remember it. She's like, you know, a lot of people want to remember the first time they held their child. But my in the movie, the girl says, my experience was so traumatic, I don't want to remember that. And I asked the audience, like, how would that make you feel if you felt that someone robbed you of the one experience that you were so excited to have? You know, how would that make you feel? And we just got such a great response from people. And at the end of that event, someone from the governor's office was there, and they told me that they enjoyed the programming. And, you know, the First Lady of New Jersey actually had a new initiative out called Nurture New Jersey, and they were, you know, they wanted to see if I would be interested in you know, doing more programming with them. So I said yes. I signed on. I became a part of the Nurture New Jersey project. This was in 2018. And it's just been growing from there. And since then, we've held over 100 events, both in person and virtual. We've held events from all the way up to Toronto, all the way down to the DMV area, connected with over 1,000 women in person. I've spoken on multiple platforms, and it's just continuing to grow from here, you know. So, you know, I always think back, like, 3 years ago, we were just a couple moms sitting on the grass watching our kids play. And now here we are, 3+ years later, we're speaking on national platforms, and we're talking about public policy and what it means to have support as a mother of color, and making that distinction, right? And talking about why my experience and your experience and her experience as another mother of color, why those things matter, and why we have to create a noticeable change, you know, a specific impact to really be made. So it's sometimes I kind of sit outside myself and I'm like, who's doing all this? This is super dope. Like, this is your thing. Like, oh yeah, that's you. You're over there. You're part of it, you know? So yeah, so that's our story. That's how we started, and that's where we're at right now. And that's where we're continuing to grow to.
Yes, I absolutely love what y'all are doing. And I love all the organizations that have partnered with Governor's Wife in New Jersey. Y'all are doing some amazing things. I always see programming coming out. It's like y'all are definitely out to try to save Black moms and babies, which is what we all have a common goal to do in the things that we do. So I would love for you to share any other tools or resources, books, podcasts that you have used over the year on your journey to motherhood, as you've gone through your grieving journey, that you recommend to, you know, your clients, but also to your community.
Yeah. So for us, Melanated Moms has a monthly support group. We meet every second Saturday of the month. It's virtual because of COVID, but it's the best thing that we could have ever did, because now we're able to connect all at once instead of, you know, just we talk about our lives as women, as moms, as sisters, as accountability partners. We also talk about what our birthing experiences were like and how it shaped the way that we parent or not. Actually, my co-founder in Buffalo, New York, her name is Alexia. I call her Sister. And she's become a huge advocate for moms who've experienced several miscarriages. So she has a significant story with loss as well. And now we're working on creating new efforts to bring light and awareness to that in New York State, you know, and really talking about why these conversations need to happen. You know, we've also been working with the Preeclampsia Foundation. I'm a member of the Patient Advisory Council and Racial Diversity Task Force. And we're talking about what resources that currently exist and what resources we need to create and provide by state. And we're a huge contributor to those conversations and to those resource networks. Here in New Jersey, we've partnered with probably more than 20 different nonprofit organizations and some for-profit as well to really raise awareness around how to support a mother and looking at all of the pieces that our community members have identified as their need. Outside of that, you know, we always list the resources that we know. We have many resources on our website that are a part of our Melanated Moms. And we also list you because we talk all about every part of motherhood. You know, I would be remiss if I did not include how amazing your platform is, how you've been able to bring a lot of awareness to why it's important to have conversations and support around grief and loss for moms. So, yeah, I wish I had some books to refer you to, but I'll be honest with you. I love reading. I'm just not a big reader. I do more writing than reading. So it's kind of where I'm at. Sorry.
No problem. We'll definitely link your website so people can go to as another resource for them navigate their journey. No, it's good. So what encouraging words can you leave our listeners as we are still navigating COVID-19? We're all in this sense of collective grief and mourning and really collective trauma. Really, I think we all have experienced it where now, you know, as we're recording this podcast in March, we can start to see kind of the light at the end of the tunnel as people are starting to get vaccinated. You know, we have a new administration. They've been in, they've been here for what, 50 days already now. Getting stimulus checks. We're already getting we're already getting you know, promises that, you know, every adult will be vaccinated by May 1st, which is amazing. So I feel like we're starting to, you know, see things open back up slowly, and we will start to see as we head into this summer. But I still feel like, you know, we don't know the effects of COVID-19 as a collective, because I feel like we haven't really taking that time out. Obviously, the folks who have lost lives, who have lost parents, family members due to COVID, but also due to other injuries and other things, other natural causes. But I feel like also a part of that is that, you know, we had a lot of people, a lot of women who may have had to put their IVF cycles on hold, or they may have had experienced a loss in a hospital by themselves due to COVID, or they're going through a pregnancy after loss or infertility, and they're navigating this new journey. They have to show up and be by themselves in each of their appointments. So I would love for you to just leave our listeners just some encouraging words as they navigate this journey, because it's very uncertain for all of us.
Absolutely. I would say, honestly, connect with your community, find your tribe, right? Knowing that we're people who have been able to turn our pain into purpose. It's not a coincidence, you know? So I always encourage any woman, whether they join our membership or not, we're always here. You know, you might not like my formula, but you might like yours or another person. Or I will always encourage having that level of community around you and let it really surround you, you know. And also know, like, vulnerability is not a weakness. It's actually a strength. So reaching out and saying, hey, I need help, or I need this resource, or, you know, I just want somebody to talk to, that doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you less capable of, and it will inspire another woman in a whole nother way that you may not have even realized, you know. Can I give you a small little story?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
So
when I realized Melanated Moms was bigger than just the tri-state area. I don't know if you remember this, but a couple years ago, there was a young lady who passed away. She fell down the stairs going into the subway with her baby's carriage. The baby made it, but she passed away. I remember posting this story on my Facebook page. You know how you can write the little narrative at the top of your Facebook post? And I posted the narrative that said, you know, it's so sad to see this melanated mom lost her life. Let's pray for her. Later on that night, the police were at my door and they were saying, did you make this post about someone passing away? And it's like, yeah, you know, the young lady did just pass away in New York City. Like, oh, well, apparently somebody saw your post online and they thought that you were indicating that you hurt yourself. This is a wellness check. So I'm like, well, who the heck will post? Who would do that? You know, who didn't hear about this story? You know, because again, I'm thinking small. I'm thinking no one's really watching this out. That's not in New Jersey or in New York. A young lady who's never responded. She's never had any interaction with any post, didn't like nothing. And she posted and she said, oh my God, I hope nothing happened to you. I don't like how this post looks. I'm going to call the police. And I DM'd her and I was like, hey, I appreciate, you know, you having concern, but where did this come from?
Where are you?
How didn't you hear about this story? So she shares with me, she's actually in Bermuda. And she said, this triggered me because in my town where I am, there's been a lot of young mothers who haven't been able to cope single parenthood. And there's been a huge rise in maternal suicide. So she was like, you know, I was praying, you know, I've been watching this. I've been watching your group for a while. You always post all these really good tips and encouraging things. And when I saw that, I thought you gave up. And it really triggered me. And I was like, I don't know where this girl is. I don't know what I can possibly do. I'm going to call my local police and I'm going to just hope that it gets to her because I'm praying that she knows how significant she is. And I share that because you never know how impactful something like that can be to other people. And even if someone never speaks to you, never reaches out to you, there are a lot of people who really look forward to what you bring to the table. And from that experience, it taught me that I have a higher level of responsibility than to just post anything. You know, I have to be very intentional with what I'm saying and what I'm doing. And I have to take into account there are going to be people who are very comfortable coming forward and asking for things, but there are also going to be people who aren't. But they're still there and they still want and need you to be that resource. So, you know, I just want to close by saying, you know, that young lady, she may have been inspired by what I was saying or what I was doing. She also inspired and motivated me to look at Melanated Moms as more than just a random group. She helped me to see that we have purpose. It can only continue to build if I am intentional about what I'm doing and that's it. You know, I just wanted to share that because sometimes, you know, as a motivator, as a person who speaks on these platforms, we also forget that we need that same motivation, right? So I still thank that girl to this day for finding her voice and actually sharing, like, you're doing something for my life that you don't even know. And I thought for a minute that it wouldn't even be possible that you would continue to motivate. I thought that, you know, you succumb to things that other moms may have experienced. So yeah, I hope that makes sense. But I really saw like the value being intentional and knowing that inspires others to feel comfortable and open to create the resources that they need and to stay inspired.
Yes, absolutely. And for her to even, obviously it was triggering to her, but for her to even know, you know, she has your name and everything. So she, and then they found you. That is the crazy part about it. I'm sure that was probably scary for you to be like, hold on.
It was.
Why are y'all at my door?
to this day, it makes me nervous, but it showed me like Big Brother is real. But I was like, oh my God, like, how did y'all get my address? And oh, your IP address and it's connected to this. And then we pinged your cell phone. I said, Lord,
if God forbid that was the case, I would have been saved.
Yep, absolutely. And I think
she saw outside herself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that lets us know that we are definitely each other's when it comes to this community. So that's why we have to stay in community, even if it's virtual, as we navigate, you know, these next few months before things are really wide open with COVID, that you still need to find your community where you can be able to be open and vulnerable and transparent and find your tribe. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that everyone always say that, you know, there is a lid for every pot. So you find your community that you vibe with and you stay with because you know that they are there to support you and guide you as you navigate through the transitions of life. So where can we connect with you after this episode? Drop all your socials, all of the above.
Yes, yes, yes. So you can connect through everything. So I'm on all of the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Melanated Moms, MelanatedMoms. You can also go to our website at www.melanatedmoms.com. And last but definitely not least, we're actually, we just recently received funding to extend our advocacy training, which is called Find Your Roar. We're looking for more moms and more women who want to join our advocacy network as change makers. We received funding from Planned Parenthood to extend this training. So if you guys are interested, definitely you can go to my Instagram and you can sign up for the next Find Your Roar training, which is starting in April. And we'll be training a new cohort of moms, women, and actually we're looking to recruit fathers and partners who are also a part of that village to support moms and women around reproductive justice, health equity, and learning how we can keep these same conversations going, you know? So those are all the ways you can connect with me and more. But, you know, and if you ever need to email me directly, you can email me at mmhq@melanatedmoms.com.
Thank you so much, Jay, for sharing your story on podcast. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much, Erica. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For show notes, go to sistersinloss.com. To stay connected with us and join the Sisters in Loss community and receive my weekly newsletter, please go to sistersinloss.com/newsletter. That is sistersinloss.com/newsletter. Please rate and review this episode, and I will talk to you next week.